Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day when you have called us together for this holy convocation. As we study your word today, we pray that you will enlighten us and give us wisdom and understanding. May each and every soul that has a need receive the blessing that you would have for them from your word. I pray for wisdom that I might speak the words of Yah, that they might be effectual. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Amen. Happy Sabbath. Greetings from Corinth, Mississippi, on May 11th, 2002. The subject that we want to talk about today is the root of evil. The root of evil. And our first scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat or food, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them Yah was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt or test Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. For an explanation of some of what happened, let's go to Exodus 17, verses 2 and 7. Wherefore the people did chide or argue with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide or argue ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt or provoke Yah? And verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted or provoked Yah, saying, is Yah among us or not? Today, people will tell you there is no God. Why do they say that? Why would they say there is no God? Well, the more grace that is extended to people, the more they take advantage of that grace. The more they will take advantage of that mercy. We are living in a time of great mercy and grace. We're going to be reading some scriptures that show that is the case. Because judgment does not come immediately. People do all sorts of evil. And yet judgment does not fall on them immediately like it did in the Old Testament times. Let's look briefly at the origin of evil in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 13, it says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." What was the root of evil? What was the origin of evil? What could have possibly entered into Eve to have disobeyed the Creator? What was it within Adam that would cause him, the first of all human creation, to disobey the Creator? The root of evil. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. A mystery is something we cannot understand or explain. Mysterious. We're going to look at some things from the Scripture that will help us to understand where evil arises today. Matthew 15:18-19. Yahshua is speaking, and he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." It appears that the root of evil is in the heart of man. Well, we need to look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, or who can understand it? I, Yah, search the heart. I try or test the reins," that is, test the emotions, "even to give or repay every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Did you ever notice when you get into an emotional situation, when you get into a situation where your emotions are being tested and tried, have you ever analyzed it? Have you ever really looked in the mirror and analyzed that emotion? Did you understand that the result of your emotion, or the situation you are finding yourself in, is something you did to put yourself there? Do you realize that Yah is testing your emotions? He says he's going to do it. I, Yah, search the heart. I test the emotions, even to repay every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. If you get emotionally upset, you are reacting to something you did to yourself. You're choosing that unhappiness, and Yah is bringing that repayment upon you, and he's testing your emotions, trying to show you really how pitiful you really are. But when we look at the fall of man, what do we see? We see Adam blaming Eve. And we see Eve blaming the devil, when they should have said, "I'm the guilty party. I ate the fruit. I ate the forbidden fruit. I'm the guilty one. I'm the one with the wicked heart, and I'm the one that needs help. The root of evil is in the heart of man. In the Old Testament, we see God dealing with people very sternly. Let's look at an example. In Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, verses 2 through 7. If there be found among you within any of the gates which Yah the Almighty giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of Yah the Almighty, in transgressing his covenant, that is, breaking his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And today, people are too intelligent to literally worship the sun or the moon. They worship computers, cars, clothes, money, things like that today, houses, land. They know better than to worship the sun and the moon. Verse 4, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and beheld it to be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which hath committed that wicked thing, unto thy gate, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them, execute them with stones, till they die, at the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. Now can you imagine today if two or three witnesses said you were guilty of false worship, and the witnesses were willing to pick up stones and stone you to death, the people would be required to go along with it and help in the process. I'm afraid we wouldn't have too many people walking around on the planet. In fact, what would happen, no doubt, is that the evil congregation would decide they didn't want to be stoned, and they would take up stones and stone the good people, and this place would be filled with evil more than it is today. So Yah, in his wisdom, says, we're going to have to extend a little mercy, lest all the righteous get stoned to death in these last days. So vengeance is mine, saith Yah. I will repay, he says. But let me tell you that Yah has not changed one iota. And people who are in false worship, people who are in rebellion, in stubborn disobedience, are fit for stoning. That's all they're fit for. But Christ, in his mercy and grace, has given them a time of probation to put away the wicked thing. And many of us have been extended that mercy, and we're so happy for that, aren't we? Of course, let it be known that if you knew that you did evil with this hand, and if you knew that hand would be cut off, like they have laws in some countries like Egypt, I believe, if you're caught stealing, you lose the hand that steals, don't you? Now, if a man goes around with a missing hand, you can just about believe he was a thief. But if he has his other hand, chances are he stopped it. I'm not a violent person, And I don't like having to punish people. And I don't like to be punished except when I deserve it. Sometimes in this world, people get punished unfairly. I know some children get spankings when they didn't deserve it. The parents were more evil than the children. But we're not talking about that kind of thing. The fact is that Yah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever was an abomination in His sight back in the time of Moses in the wilderness is an abomination in His sight today. And if, as the commandment says, Yah will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain, certainly He will not hold him guiltless that does all manner of evil. And for those who do all manner of evil in the name of the Lord, those people are in the most trouble. Well, what are some of these evils that deserve stoning, deserve death? Let's look at a few just while we have a few moments to do so. Deuteronomy 19, right there in the same book. Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 19. If a false witness rises up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, or Yah, and before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. A false witness will not be blessed with a heavenly experience. I find many times that young people use a false witness tactic to get out of trouble. They will go so far as to lay the blame on one of the other siblings, trying to get the innocent one in trouble, or at least share the trouble. They learn at a very young age to do this. And because parents are not swift to correct it, because parents have probably modeled that behavior and taught it to the children, it goes unpunished. And eventually, society becomes a society of false witnesses. And their end will be the lake of fire. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13, 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that thou do? And profane the Sabbath day. There's a story in the Bible about a man who picked up sticks upon the Sabbath day to build a fire. We could read about it. What happened to him? He was stoned to death. Do you think that Yah puts an importance upon the Sabbath day? To profane the Sabbath is an evil which deserves stoning. Look at Psalm 37, 3-9. Trust in Yah and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in Yah, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto Yah, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yah, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off or destroyed. But those that wait upon Yah, they shall inherit the earth. I submit to you that anger and wrath and fretting is an evil work that will end in destruction. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Did you ever notice that people that know the least talk the most? People who jabber, tend to be doing something like trying to show off their expertise, and yet they have none to show off. A person that talks too much is going to get into sin sooner or later. But it says a wise person will restrain their lips. People appreciate a good listener a lot more than a good talker. This is carried on in Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So a multitude of words and hasty words are an evil that will end in destruction. Look at Matthew 5:37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, or cometh out of an evil heart. Proverbs 18:8-9. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Tale-bearing, gossip, slothfulness, wastefulness, evils that will end in destruction. Proverbs 12:19-22. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to Yah, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips will not last forever. All liars will have their place in the lake of fire, according to the book of Revelation. James 3, 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion or disorder, and every evil work. So here we see envy and strife, quarreling. Confusion, disorder. These things are evils that will not go to heaven. These are evils that will be destroyed in the wrath of Yah. James 4, 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It's like a mist that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if Yah will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Boasting of self and willful neglect are evils worthy of stoning that will be purged away in the fires of the last days. Proverbs 28:22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Proverbs 23:6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats or foods. 1 Timothy 6:10. Starting actually with verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. On the board, the camera was on it already. We don't need to go there. we had a list of words: eyes, tongue, hands, heart, and feet. These are mentioned in this scripture here. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth Yah hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Reading from a modern translation, it says this: there are six things which Yah hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Yah hates these things among young people and adults alike. Just because you're young doesn't mean you will escape the wrath of God. If you're too young to know right from wrong, so be it. You may escape. But if you're old enough to listen to this sermon and understand the words of these texts, you're old enough to know right from wrong. And let me tell you that the same God that told Moses to stone the wicked one is the same God that we will face in the judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, he's not wanting to stone anyone. He's not wanting any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he has given us a long, merciful life, full of grace, full of opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get our lives remedied. How long will Yah bear with you? How long will Yah suffer you to do these evils? Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yah of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The root of evil, dearly beloved, is in the heart of man. And there's a day coming when that root of evil is going to be destroyed from the universe. Third John, that little book over there, almost to the book of Revelation. Third epistle of John. I appeal to you to listen to this scripture and take it to heart. For it can be a great encouragement to you. Beloved, in verse 11, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of Yah, but he that doeth evil hath not seen Yah. We are blessed in these last days to have a period of probation whereby we may come to know Yah. But let us not take advantage of Yah's great love and mercy. Let us not allow many more days, or many more minutes for that matter, to pass before we get our lives straightened out. It is a strange act that our Father in heaven will do in the cleansing of this earth. But what must be done, must be done. I appeal to you this day. Be reconciled to Yah. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us in your word examples of how you dealt with your people all through the ages. We see the example of those that fell in the wilderness because of stubborn unbelief. We see the example of those who murmured against your chosen leaders and against you, who were not satisfied with what you were giving them, who were always complaining, wanting something better. Oh, Father, that we might be thankful, that we might rejoice in what you have given us, knowing that you are a faithful Father, knowing that you have promised as we keep our minds stayed upon you, you will direct our paths. Father, if there are any that hear these words or see this video that are not reconciled to you and to your Son, I pray that they will right now get on their knees and accept your great love and grace to renew them and make them new with a new heart, so that that root of evil can be taken out and replaced with the root of righteousness, Christ himself. Dismiss us, we pray, from this place with a renewed spirit of urgency, with a more alert eye to evil, not ever calling that which is evil good and that which is good evil, but discerning between good and evil and holding fast to that which is good. These things we pray in the holy and precious name of Yahshua, our Savior. Amen.